We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Mayor Alorza, in terms of the possibility of a tax increase in the new city budget, the expectation among the city council is that it's more a matter of the size of a tax increase rather than whether there will be one. Would you say that is accurate?
Well, we'll have to look at it. I mean, what we're going through right now is we're putting together a 10-year, a long-term plan for our budget and for a number of other areas in the city. Once we have this long-term plan, we'll know exactly where we stand, the kind of decisions we need to make, and the investments that we need to make to get to the providence of the future where we want to be. So that's all in the balance right now. But whether one is more likely than the other, it's too soon to tell.
Are you ruling out a tax increase at this point?
No, you can't rule anything out. But, you know, what I learned going through the budget this past year is that almost baked into the process, there's so much of an incentive to think only 1 year over next. So it almost encourages short-term thinking. I've said from my inauguration, from the very beginning, that we have a number of challenges as a city, and we have to confront these challenges head on. That's what I've done in a number of different ways, and that's what I want to do with our long-term structural challenges in our budget. This long-term plan with five separate components to it is going to be tremendously helpful for that.
Let's go to Scott.
That's a wonderful sentiment, Mayor, but wasn't it short-term thinking to sign a budget that gave the landlords a $1.2 million tax break?
We put a budget together that did not include any tax increases. You know, I heard, you know, from folks throughout the city telling me that folks are struggling, that it's been very tough times, and that we have a very non-competitive climate for business as well. So we held the line on taxes. At the same time, we made very important investments, strategic investments for the city. I'm very proud of the work that we've done around innovation in City Hall. We have ambitious goals for the city. There's no reason why we can't be on the cutting edge and on the front edge of innovation and efficient municipal services. It's always a balance through the process, but we made very key investments, including infrastructure so that we can move greater amounts of snow, greater investments in street cleaning as well. So we made key investments. You know, we were able to do this without raising any taxes.
But it looks like that's good work, but again, around the margins. You've got a situation, according to the state auditor and Moody's, where a quarter, 25% of every dollar in Providence is already committed to long-term pensions and health care.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. You're right. How
do you get around that?
All of this is just, you know, cutting around the margins. What we need to do is we need to, first of all, start thinking over the long term. Look at the state of our roads. Look at the state of our public buildings in particular our schools. Look at the amount that we spend in public safety on the police side. In all of these areas, we need to make much more of an investment. But when we put the budget together, there's almost this incentive to think for the short term. And what we need to start doing is think of the long term. And that's the way that we're going to tackle our long-term structural challenges.
Former city councilor Balbina Young is going to be able to increase her pension benefits now that she's been hired for a city council job. Do you see anything wrong with that?
You know, that's a decision that the city council made. You know, they handle their portion of the budget.
You're the mayor.
Oh, sure. And they handle their portion of the budget, and they're free to do that. In terms of, you know, the mayor's office portion of the budget and the rest of the city and the school side of the budget, you know, we make sure that, number one, we bring in people who are qualified for the job and that are going to be responsive to the needs of the community. That's the criteria that I use in every one of my hires, and I hope that that's the criteria that is used by the city council as well.
Councilman David Salvatore has an ordinance that would prevent people like Balbina Young from being able to spike their pensions. Do you support that?
Yeah, so we're looking at that, and it's a complicated issue. We'll see what the final bill or what comes out of committee or what comes out of the city council, and it's something that we'll definitely look at. What I do completely agree with is this point that we have to be, you know, very careful in how we spend our funds, and we have to be very fiscally responsible in everything that we do, and that's the perspective we'll use when we evaluate it.
We're talking here with Providence Mayor Jorge Alorza, and now back to Scott.
It's a time, Mayor, to roll up the white flag on the Paw Sox. Just say, this is a pipe dream. We're probably not going to come here, and we don't want to give away a whole lot of city money or long-term tax deals to bring them here.
When I think of my priorities for the city and the vision that I have for Providence, I think that Providence is on the verge of a resurgence. And there are a lot of very positive indications that we have. When it comes to the Paw Sox add a lot to that vision. They add a lot to that to that conversation. But at the same time, there are other priorities that we have. For example, we're a post-industrial city. All our manufacturing jobs have left and we haven't recreated ourselves. What do we produce? What do we create? What are we about as an economy? That's what we need to focus on. And I meet regularly with my economic development team, my economic development director. We're looking at development around the city.
So yes or no on the Paw Sox? Will we see a Paw Sox stadium here in the next year?
It's a possibility.
There are some glimmers of positive economic development in terms of South Street Landing. It looks like there's momentum for this Wexford Science and Technology proposal in the I-195 district. But I wonder if you're concerned that it looks like Citizens Bank is going to be taking its Rhode Island headquarters out of Providence.
My economic development team has been working very closely with the folks at Citizens. We are doing everything that we can, everything that we possibly can to keep them here. Now, from what I understand, you know, there's talk about, them moving to a suburban campus. And I know that that's attractive to citizens for different reasons, and that's fine. But at the same time, our responsibility is to sell the city and to let folks know that if you want a thriving business and you want to grow, Providence is where you want to be. What we need to focus on is creating an environment, creating an ecosystem, creating a structure so there isn't about these one-off negotiations, these one-off deals. Instead of having trying to convince businesses to come here or to stay here, them choosing on their own that this is the right climate and this is the place where they want. That's what we're focused on. That's the priority. And at the state level, so many people recognize the importance of Providence and they've been supportive and want to help.
In terms of Providence's economy, you've been in office for almost a year now. Has your administration made any progress on trying to bring a new use to the Superman building?
You know, we're reaching out to a number of different companies. Anyone who's interested in coming to the city, we certainly, you know, have that high on the list. I've reached out to a number of different universities and pitched the idea there. So we're actively involved in that. But again, this is the most important thing. When I leave office, knock on wood, 7 years from now, I want to leave behind a very stable foundation that the next mayor can take advantage of and can build off of all of our resources and assets. We have to start building the economy of the future. We're looking at the different clusters where we're already strong and have strategic advantages. We're also looking at workforce development and worker training. We're also connecting that with our schools. So it's this three-legged stool. When we address those issues in a structural way, we begin creating an environment that businesses want to be a part of. I understand that we have to address the immediate concerns, but we can't address the immediate concerns at the exclusion of the long-term structural concerns, and we're working on both of them right now.
Mayor, we're almost out of time here, but I wanted to ask you about a recent story by our friend Dan McGowan at WPRI.com. He outlined how one of your top aides, Brett Smiley, a firm owned by Smiley, raised a lot of money for you as a candidate, and that firm continues to raise money for you. Smiley is on leave for this firm, and there's nothing illegal about this situation, but is this a little too cozy?
Oh, I don't think so. You know, what they do is they do compliance work. They don't do what they do for me is at the end of the quarters, they account for all of the dollars that I've raised and make sure that we're adequately reporting it. In terms of the people that, you know, help me, you know, fundraise, that's a separate group. And I don't think there's that connection. But what I do know for sure is that there is no monetary interest that Brett Smiley has on that side. You know, I get this. I get the point that we have a close relationship, but at the same time, you know, the important thing is making sure that we're transparent and that there is not even an appearance of impropriety in any way. And we've been very careful to avoid all of that. So that's not a concern.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to all.
And the Mayor of Providence, Jorge Elorza.
Happy New Year's. 2016 is going to be a great year.